It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Pirate Playback here on the Sports Objective. I'm Dave Richmond along with Kyle from LaGrange Club. What's up, dude?
What's going on, Dave?
Well, Pirates lose a big one, 42-10. We'll talk about that. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, man? Bubba, you there?
That's a good start.
I'm here.
Hey, yeah, you can. The role of Bubba Rosenbaum was played by Terry Gallagher tonight. What's up, man?
I'm sitting down here in Georgia and getting ready to watch the Falcons play and a little bit of NASCAR. So just hanging out.
Hanging out. All right. That's the way you roll. Good old Georgia boy. That's eventually going to be. I can't wait till you're in North Carolina so you can see some good old stock car racing that I do that for people that don't know. I'm actually the voice of the Southern National Motorsports Park, and Terry's actually a big racing fan, so that'll be really cool to have him close by where he can come up and visit sometime.
If you're not first, you're last.
That's according to Ricky Bobby. He couldn't make the podcast tonight. But, well, speaking of you're not first, you're last, if you don't win the game, you lose the game, and Pirates lose a one that I thought they were going to play better, even if they did lose, 42-10. I want to get you guys, we'll go round table, what you guys thoughts are.
Defensively, I'm not surprised. I did think we would defend the triple option a little better than we did based on Houston's pass and Trott's pass. But I'm not overly surprised seeing this show before playing Navy. What I am surprised about is the way the offense played. Has me concerned. We against FBS competition, not counting Gardner Webb. And I would look and like William and Mary this weekend. I know they're FCS. They're a decent FCS program.
Right.
So if you take Gardner Webb out of the equation, we're averaging 8 points a game. We scored six or three, whatever it was, against NC State and six, and then we scored 10 against. Navy. So that comes to an average of 8 points a game. So that concerns me. I know Darius Pinnock being out this week was a blow. Houston is gearing a lot of the offense around him. He wants to establish a running game. He wants to be physical. He wants to be tough. I get all that. So I do think missing Pinnock affected us quite a bit this week. But, yeah, the offense concerns me. He's certainly trying to lay a foundation and establish being tough. And establish a run, and that will pay dividends next year. But we got to find a way to be more competitive this year. He's going to have to come up with kind of a – I think he's going to have to alter what he wants to do just a little bit so we can be more competitive this year. So.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Bubba Rosenbaum joining us. We came to you, and there was Terry Gallagher had to pretend like he was Bubba Rosenbaum for a couple minutes.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Bubba.
We haven't had an imposter, but if somebody's gonna play me, it's an honor, Terry.
You're a lot taller. So.
I'm sure you are better, Bubba, than I am.
He was actually the stunt double.
I have a nephew named Bubba. So,
well, Bubba, what are your thoughts on the game, man? I just gave mine. Talked about the offensive struggles and how the defense so much didn't surprise me, but the offense did. What are your thoughts on yesterday?
It could not have had a worse start. Everything that happened right out of the gates as far as three and out and, us putting ourselves behind the chains, not being able to run the ball and get any yards on those early downs and then a short punt and couldn't have asked for or couldn't have had a worse start to say the least. And then early on there, after it had been 21-0, it looked like we were finally going to get on the board to the touchdown, and we had too few men on the line of scrimmage. So, now did you guys were you able to? Yeah, I'm gonna say I thought it looked like a bad call. I didn't get the best look at it, but I'm gonna say, and they didn't. They
it
showed
was a bad
they,
call. It was
they showed a tight shot, but
too many guys in the backfield. That's what you're talking about.
Right. When they said we had six men on the line. Okay, but And then defensively, I mean, like we said on 94-3 the game, I mean, obviously no one thing in particular, but they had killed Holy Cross with the pitch, and so we did a decent job of taking the fullback and pitch away, it seemed like it most times. But then the quarterback, Malcolm Perry, just killed us, accounting for, six touchdowns and over 300 yards, 150 on the ground and through the air. So, and there seemed like there were times where our guys were in position to make plays, but just couldn't make the plays.
Yeah, a couple times. I remember there was one play, there's one play in particular, I can't pinpoint it, but the guy was right there, and he literally, it was like he just stood there, didn't make the tackle. I don't know, but Bob, I talked to you and your dad about this last night, man. Sometimes I wonder if this just goes back to high school. Nobody in North Carolina hardly runs any triple option or any kind of option at all, much at the high school level anymore.
Yeah, no one how to stop it's one thing, but then going out there and doing it, it's totally different. And that's something I've talked to a few people about. I mean, like I'm really surprised with Coach Houston and Coach Trott and their background. I thought, well, I don't care. I mean, that's great. And I'm sure that helped us some, but now 3-4 years down the road, once they've gotten some better defensive talent in, if we're having these issues, that's a totally different thing, but there's no reason to be so much alarmed over what happened yesterday, because there's no reason defensively, there's no reason to be just totally alarmed by that, because it's what's been happening for years and years, and it's year one with subpar personnel across the border, at least depth, especially in the front. And then you have – I'm sorry, go ahead. Hello?
Hey.
I'm here.
Kyle was saying something.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. Where is he? Editing.
Kyle, come out wherever you are. All right. But and offensively, one of the things that really concerned me going into this game, yes, we had the output we had against Gardner-Webb, but with the way we had performed against NC State, just no big playability and just everything having to be methodically moving the ball down the field, and that obviously requires you to having to snap the ball several more times and execute with a lot of consistency. And I just didn't see that consistency even last week when we put up nearly 600 yards and 48 points against Gardner-Webb. So too many false starts and just negative yardage plays or no gains and those sorts of things to consistently move the ball and do what you need to do to be productive against Navy.
You through it?
Yeah. The only other thing that I would say, I was going to add defensively, and Gerard Stringer, linebacker, he did a nice job again. I think he led us in tackles and had 3 TFLs. And then special teams-wise, special teams, especially, you had the short punt early. You did have one good kick return by Colby Gore on the first one, but then the next 2 kick returns, maybe it was situations where we should have caught a fair catch, or maybe we just didn't have blocking or whatever, but we got to the 17 one time, and then the next time we're only like the 10 or the 11, so we had a lot of lost yardage there.
Dave, I think that was, I'm guessing, I could be wrong, I think those guys were being coached to try to go make a play to spark something.
Right.
Would be
right.
My guess. But sometimes you're better off just taking that fair catch and knowing you're going to have start, knowing where you're going to start at 25.
I certainly thought about what you're saying. You can't fault them for trying to make a play. And obviously on TV, you can't tell, but so much as far as the trajectory of the kickoff and where the coverage team is and stuff.
Right.
So you can't. It's hard to pass any judgment there.
And I didn't think John Young didn't have a particularly good day as a whole yesterday punting the ball. That's uncharacteristic for him. Expect to see him bounce back this week.
No doubt about it. What did you, Terry, you your player of the game. I know one thing is that we have guys that are not quitting. They're playing every play. I can definitely say that. I was disappointed, but I think the one good thing is I think it's a good thing that we don't have Virginia Tech this week, that we have a good William & Mary team. But I do believe that I was just thinking about this morning getting ready for this show is that two out of the next three games is going to be home. And, yes, it's William & Mary, and, yes, it's Temple. But Dorothy said there's no place like home, and I think we're going to have big crowds. I think they're expecting John Gilbert said at halftime yesterday on the broadcast with Jeff Charles. I think we probably will be somewhere hopefully in the 40,000 range for this game. So if that's the case, that would be guys, that would be tremendous. So I think
family weekend is typically a big draw, and right. I would expect William & Mary to bring some fans down from Williamsburg. Guys, it's going to be a close game. I think William & Mary is not a bad FCS team. They beat Colgate yesterday, which beat James Madison, Mike Houston's old teams in the playoffs last year. They got a new offense they run. It's kind of a little gimmicky. They call it the go-go. That's what they call the offense.
It's a run-based spread
offense that relies on tempo. So it's another gimmick offense. You got to defend. I saw the projected score from Vegas is William & Mary 15.5 points, East Carolina 22.5 points. So that was from Odd Shark. So everybody needs to be ready. But Terry, have you given your thoughts yet on yesterday, man?
Thanks for waking me up.
You put you to sleep?
No, it's them concussions late in the day thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, Navy had an open week. They played one game before they played us. But one thing I was looking at has to do with our players themselves. Out of our top 46 players, 24 on offense, 22 on defense, 11 out of 46. We got 15 juniors. We have 10 sophomores and 11 freshmen. Those are the ones playing. This is what we got playing on Saturday. We got 11 freshmen, true freshmen, as far as I know. Maybe not with a couple of them. 10 sophomores and 15 juniors, which means maybe we'll have a little bit of depth in the future. We don't have a lot of leadership. We've been missing that for several years. And leadership, leadership ain't like being elected president.
Clearly.
It ain't a popularity contest. Leaders, you can't coach. You can kind of, help them grow, but as far as that's kind of an innate quality. If you don't have it, it's kind of tough to be. Some people are herd mentality, some people, followers, and there's those special few that can get out there and come with me instead of saying, I'll be with you in a minute. So, we're in the process, and that's the word you're going to hear me use a bunch right now because that's what this is. And Coach Houston has a process. He has a vision, and he knows, and his coaches know what they're doing. Now, what we see on Saturdays right now is, with me, it's almost like we're going through a long spring practice. And the problem is we're selling tickets every Saturday. And you can't always judge what's really taking place by the scoreboard. It's like one of you said something about effort was still there. You watch on those touchdown catches that Navy had, everyone, they may have been wide open, but there were people chasing the guy all the way to goal line. Now, people say, well, hell, he scored, why we were. But you watch. they followed, they chased him all the way, even though they knew they couldn't catch a guy, but they kept going. They didn't quit. See, that's effort. That's real. That's where, that's what we can build on. Those little things, those moments. And the reason why they were so open is because you got to cover so much on the triple option. And they execute as well as I've ever seen triple option executed. Had a senior quarterback, and that was the quarterback that got hurt really, really bad right toward the end of the season. I think it was last year. And they had a real good season. Well, or was it the year before where he got hurt?
Yeah, I think it may have been the year before. I know Perry had gone back and forth between quarterback and slot back. I think last year he had maybe three starts at quarterback, and then the previous year he had like eight starts at quarterback. So it was probably 2017 that you're thinking about.
And he got, because he had a really bad injury and all. But so he's a senior quarterback, and he's an older quarterback. So you're looking at a 22, 23-year-old. So, it's that we're having to go through that. You know, I was looking through their roster, and on offense they're starting sophomore, senior, junior, 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 senior, junior. On defense, they're starting junior, senior, 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 junior, sophomore, senior, senior, junior, senior. So, do you see a little difference between their roster and ours just by that little bit of a brief comment on them? So, we were going into an ambush. Wasn't no ambush. We were the main course for them. And unfortunately, it had to be done, and we did it. People say, well, we're the only team that gives up that many points to Navy. No, that's not true. And it's not certain coaches or anything like that. It just, that's life, and that's living life on life's terms. We can't control some of those things. All we can do is control ourselves. And I think what Coach Houston is doing is focused on East Carolina. I think we're trying to find an identity. Every team has its own identity, whether they like it or not. There's going to be an identity for every team. And you remember things for different reasons because of those identities. And we don't have one at this point in time. I think we're looking for one. And that's where the leadership steps up to make the difference. So, it's just going to take some time. We got to be patient. It's not an instant fix. He's not bringing in graduate transfers. He's not bringing in a bunch of JUCOs. And we're going to take it on the chin. But if it don't kill you, it makes you stronger. So I'm not really talking about Saturday's game that much, but, what is there to say? And like Coach Houston even said, we got beat, and if the team wins, it's a team loss. And all you can do is go back and get back to work with it. So, but anyway, that's about all we got right now. I can keep going, but, we'll get into some other things in a minute.
Yeah, I think it goes to show the two things is the very fact. One of those stats was there. We are actually in the top 20. Somebody's got a...
You speaker, buddy.
No, it's not me.
It's not you?
Nope.
I'm not hearing you now. We're actually the top 20, 19th of the youngest team in America. We're the 19th youngest team. The good news is that means the future is bright for this program. So I keep reminding myself, the youth on the team, we always do very poorly against Navy. We come back and we have a chance with a good FCS opponent in William & Mary. We, with Coach Houston, I feel like that people need to understand that basically what he inherited was 3 years of a mess, that now he's got to go in there, teach him how to practice. He's got to go in there, completely overhaul the culture. And you're talking about Colby Gore playing the game, his first game back. And the reason being is that he's been one of the players, and not just to pick on him, he's not the only one that didn't practice very well, was allowed to tap out after a couple plays. All that kind of stuff, non-discipline, you know, where other players, not him, but other players not wearing earrings at practice, and all kinds of stuff that Montgomery let happen. I saw a post on Facebook last night about a guy that made a good point, that basically what you're seeing yesterday is a perfect example of why, look at all the damage that Jeff Comfer did by not only hiring Ruffin McNeil, but Montgomery being hired. And so now we're in such a big hole, we don't have a choice but to
find a way out. Brain posted something last night on the Right the Ship page, you know, reminding everybody who's to blame, and to put that we're in the situation we're in now. And it's not Mike Houston.
No.
Mike Houston, you know, the only criticism I have of Mike Houston is like I said, he may want to reevaluate on offense what he wants to do this year. If he wants to have success this year and not just build for the future, we may have to change it up just a little. Besides that, Mike Houston's not to blame for any of this. This all goes back to Jeffrey Comfer, Cecil Staton, and Scotty Montgomery. And you know, it's on their shoulders that we're, you know, they started this whole downhill trajectory, and now we're on the climb back up. And it's not going to be an instant descent. It's going to be a slow climb. And along the way, you're going to have bumps in the road. And yesterday was a big bump. And, you know, we all need to be there next weekend against William and Mary, because that is not a gimme win. The way we're playing football right now, there is no guarantee we're going to beat William and Mary. So we all need to be there. We all need to be loud. We all need to cheer this team on. And if it's a close game in the fourth quarter, don't be pissed off like we were last year against A&T.
Totally different.
Against JMU, and when him close against JMU, because we're in a different situation. This is a coach in his first year trying to establish his culture. Get out there and cheer your butts off and help this team. You have an opportunity this weekend. It will matter. William and Mary, you know, they went to UVA this year, but they're not used to playing in front of these kind of crowds. And in the fourth quarter, if it's a close ball game, we can help this team win. So we need to be there and be loud Saturday.
And, you know, that was a point that people used to make over the last 3 years is, you know, we got to go to the games. So, you know, and there is a reason, but, and that is recruits. You know, it'd be nice for recruits to come in and see a real East Carolina atmosphere, regardless of who we're playing. And so that's, it is important that you get to the games if you can. And, you know, support.
And the fact that the other reason why, you know, Kyle, we were talking about this on the podcast last year, the reason why people not going into the games is they wanted Montgomery gone. They wanted change. We'd already had Comfer gone. They wanted Montgomery and Staton gone, and especially Montgomery. And not going to football games.
We had to take action, or they wouldn't take action.
Exactly. Right.
So the only way we knew how to do it was for people to not go to the games financially, so
money
they would
talks.
Get the message.
Yep.
And so that hurt us financially.
Right.
We'll have to get out of that hole. But that's a quick hole to get out of. All you have to do, folks, is to, now that you got, Kyle said this before, I give him credit for it, now that you've got what you want, now you've got to, instead of continuing the grudge about East Carolina, like, we got everything we wanted. We got everything we wanted. This is like Christmas Day. We got everything we wanted, a whole bunch of presents for us, and now we've got John Gilbert. You look at the new Chancellor, Gerlach. Everything that we have, we've got everything we wanted. So now is the time to go out and let's have a huge crowd. William and Mary, it doesn't matter who we're playing. We should be there anyway. And now that we got what we wanted, so go even more, cheer even louder for the team. Now that you know the program is heading in the right direction.
Well, you know, back in 1977, we were playing William and Mary, and we were – We were 9-1 that season going into the game, and it was last game. Back then, we played 11 game schedules. So we were 9-1, got one game left, William and Mary, and we were going to play in Norfolk in what was called the, I don't know if they still do it or not, the Oyster Bowl. And it was an annual thing played in Norfolk. And so here we go. Going to play William and Mary. Well, what's our mindset? Oh, we're going to beat these guys. Well, guess what? We didn't beat them. They beat us with a late touchdown, a quarterback of theirs who wound up playing in the NFL. Rosencrantz, I believe. Rosencrantz.
Yeah, I remember my dad talking about it. Tom Rosencrantz.
Rosencrantz, maybe that's it. But he was a very good quarterback. And late in the game, he ran a bootleg, and he's going around the he's wide open. There's nobody out there to stop him. He's easy going in the end zone. And all of a sudden, this old man comes off our sideline and tackled him or tried to. He had to drag the old man in the end zone. And they had to bring an ambulance to get the old man off and everything. Come to find out, it was this old, I think he'd actually coached East Carolina at one time.
Jim Johnson?
It maybe drank a few, too many Pepsis on the sideline. And he said he just couldn't bear seeing that guy go in there so easy. So he just lost control and jumped out there and put his face on him. But we lost. And so instead of going, they were getting ready after that game to select us to go to the Peach Bowl that year. And you know how much that would have meant to me at the Peach Bowl. So we didn't get the bid because we lost to William and Mary. And so, you know, I'm not going to take them lightly. I know what it feels like to get the bid. So anyway, you know.
They should be taken lightly. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're in a position to take anybody lightly. But they're actually a good football team. Look, Mike London, he had a bat. Things didn't go his way at Virginia, but he won a national championship at Richmond.
Right.
So he's a good coach.
Right. There's good players, good coaches all over, in all levels of college football.
Yeah, and for those who hadn't kept up with Mike London after he left, they didn't just hire him. He hadn't been sitting at home for the last three or four years after he got fired at Virginia. He went up at Howard and turned that program around. And in terms of the Vegas point spreads, Mike London owns the biggest upset in FBS versus FCS history. They were like a 49-point underdog to UNLV his first year at Howard and went out to Las Vegas and beat them. So London, for whatever reason, just wasn't successful at UVA. But, man, he knows how to win at these FCS programs. So we're going to have our hands full this week.
No question about it. He's actually a very smart guy. We'll see if we can get him on the podcast. Right, Bubba? We're trying to work on that, I think. So we'll see if we can get him on.
Yeah, still waiting to hear back from the folks at William & Mary. But, yeah, we'll definitely have some William & Mary guest on for this week's preview on Thursday. But did you guys want to take a look at some of the other results around the American, regionally, and then also just across the nation from yesterday?
Yeah,
big win
for UCF.
Yeah, and that win, and then also the win by Temple over Maryland. We'll talk about that one as well. But let's start off with the tremendous performance by the Knights. Obviously, coming into the season, so they had Winbush transferring in from Notre Dame, and he's actually been beaten out by Dylan Gabriel. tremendous quarterback, and because Mac, who had quarterbacked him last year when Mackenzie Milton went down, he had actually got hurt back in the summer. So Gabriel, I saw he was National Player of the Week, at least on the offensive side, and he was something like 22 out of 30 for 347 yards and 4 touchdowns with 0 picks. So
is he the quarterback that came from the same high school Milton did?
I believe that's the case, Terry. I'm not 100%, but I think you're right.
got a pipeline to Hawaii.
Yeah, I would think the Rainbow Warriors might be a little pissed off about that. But I believe that kid is from Hawaii. And so that's interesting that UCF has two fantastic quarterbacks, both from that same school. Also mentioned Temple. And by the way, let's say this about UCF. Beat Stanford. Steamrolled them yesterday. Pitt this week. They're going to do the same thing to Pitt. And if those guys go undefeated again, three straight years, and they don't get a shot at the playoffs, if they don't sue to piss at the NCAA, I don't know. I mean, you've got to sue at that point.
You see where they moved up to 16th.
Yeah, I've seen in one poll that they had gone from 17th to 15th because they were saying it was a crime.
I misunderstood you, Terry. I thought you said they're going to lose to us. You said they moved up.
They moved up. Yep.
Yeah, they actually
moved up one spot
or two.
Depending on the poll.
Yeah,
that's criminal. That is criminal.
It's very criminal, especially when I thought that Stanford team would play. I thought it'd be a close game if UCF won it. But I thought Stanford's going to win. They didn't even show up.
It wasn't as close as the score wound up being.
Yeah, it was really bad.
They showed up, and they didn't have anything for UCF.
hey, guys, I want to mention, too, before we forget, I was totally flabbergasted by the Citadel-Georgia Tech game. Not knocking the Citadel, but let me make the point for those that are saying that Mike Houston's overhyped. Talk to the knows Mike Houston. Go to James Madison. I'm going to give somebody a homework assignment. Go to James Madison and go to in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and go to the Citadel. Go to Lenore, Ryan, and Hickory. Those three schools. Ask them about Mike Houston. All three of those programs are still doing well after Mike Houston left. You know why? Every single one of them
said got a foundation.
That he set a foundation for them. And so it's totally ridiculous.
I'm going to piggyback off
that. Look at them. They beat Georgia Tech yesterday.
Piggyback off that, Dave. People talk about how hard it can be sometimes to stop triple option. Georgia Tech ran triple option for the last 10 years.
Yep.
They couldn't stop it yesterday against the Citadel.
No, they couldn't. And so that will be really interesting to see about Georgia Tech. And with they pretty much forced Paul Johnson out last year. And
They beat us, the South Florida, by a small margin.
Yeah, 14-10.
Yep.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech 2 weeks ago. Yep.
And, and Georgia Tech, you don't even hardly hear their name here in Georgia right now.
Georgia State, another interesting
school. And they're right beside. Georgia State is located next door to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, people are going to quit talking about Georgia State, too. We had a guy on the podcast, guys, that was really big on Western Michigan and said they may be a dark horse for the
Chris Vanini of The Athletic.
Yeah, to be a dark horse to go undefeated and represent the group of six in the bowl game. And I looked at him like he had cockroaches crawling out of his ears. But yesterday, they steamrolled Georgia State 55-17.
Yeah.
And Tennessee won.
For what it's worth. And I'll tell you, Tennessee's got to feel pretty good about a little bit better about that BYU loss after they beat USC yesterday.
BYU's good.
Kwani Sitake, or however you say his name, Shiitake Mushroom or whatever, he comes across to me like an idiot, but I really thought he'd be fired by now, but I don't know. He keeps winning games like he did yesterday. He ain't gonna get fired.
And playing at home, when you play them at home, it's always tough. They have an interesting crowd.
Yeah. And, Ruffin McNeil, the year he was fired, all he did was almost go out there and beat them. So.
Right. Yeah, well, that's different.
But kind of getting back to the American, that's what that Temple game. I know, Terry, that's a game that you had the opportunity to watch a lot of. So, and they really played tremendous red zone defense, and that really helped them pull out that win, even though they had some mistakes, to say the least.
Well, so, for some reason, and the announcers were talking about it too, but, you know, out of all these touchdowns Maryland has been scoring, they've been outside of the 20. Because once they get down inside the 20, Maryland's only scored one touchdown this year. And late in the game against Temple had gone ahead, and Maryland got it and drove it back down the field and was inside the 5, first and goal. And four plays later, you know, they're turning the ball over.
Yeah, they had it down there 2 or 3 times.
So Temple lines up.
Does that sound? It sounds familiar, doesn't it, guys? I tell you what it sounds like to me. It sounds like, barring the turnovers, but it sounds a lot like the South Carolina 2016, the third game in Montgomery.
It's better.
I know. Go ahead.
Temple punts off the side of their feet, and it goes out of bounds about the 13 or something like that. So Maryland's got the ball. First and 10, you know, inside the 15, and they get down on the goal line. Sure enough, once again, they go for it on fourth down and don't make it. So Temple wins. Now, also, had Temple not made some of the mistakes they made, Temple would have beat them solidly. So
I'm going to be honest with you.
But it ain't good for us.
Terry, outside of their defense, I wasn't impressed by Temple yesterday.
I don't know. Their defense looked pretty strong. So.
Yeah, I said outside of their defense. Yeah. Their defense looked great. Their offense and their special teams didn't impress me, but their defense is fantastic.
Well, you know, they have offenses that you can actually see what they're doing and kind of see that it's a legitimate offense. So.
Right.
And they've have gone from, you know, I was talking to you about this, you know, when Scott Frost inherited Central Florida, what was their record?
They were coming off
0-12, right?
And then he first year he went 6-7.
He went 6-7, and then man, they ain't lost since, have they?
No, they haven't actually.
And then you look at the guy at Cincinnati, his first season.
Now, that's a real good example right there, Terry. That's a real good example. That's a better example than Scott Frost.
Yeah,
they were god-awful. They were god-awful in season one, and he's a very similar coach in terms of what he wants to do to coach Houston.
Yep, pragmatic, and he's willing to take the time to establish what needs to be done.
Yeah, that's a better example. Yeah, two or three wins his first year. Established a culture of toughness, and they come out last year and win 10 games, and they're 2-1 this year with two nice non-conference wins against UCLA and Miami, Ohio.
Right. Of course, they did have they gave up 42 points to Ohio State.
That's Ohio State.
Yeah. It's only Ohio State, Terry.
But, you know, but people would be ready to fire him, too, because they, you know, why can't you stop them?
Well, I tell you what, in Cincinnati, another thing they've done a nice job he's also done a nice job, Kyle, when we had guys from Cincinnati on recruiting. They've talked a lot about his recruiting being really good.
They're nationwide.
Yeah, Pickle's he's a good recruiter. Yeah. He's a real good recruiter.
They had a defensive lineman who came from here in Warner Robins that had played on the Little League All-Star team from here to going to his team didn't win the World Series, but they were in the finals.
Yeah, they recruit the Southeast a lot.
He got drafted this year, so they go all over the place recruiting Cincinnati.
Yeah, they recruit the Southeast. They did that under Tuberville too. In fact, of all the teams in the American, I think we've ran into the most over the years recruiting. It may have been Cincinnati.
Yeah, they have. They recruit Georgia pretty hard. In basketball too, and so you know. Then let's see who else. What Tulsa started out. Tulsa didn't get blown out.
Tulsa's improved. They've improved,
right? And
they were winning 21-20 at halftime against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, right. Then lost. I don't know how they scored in the second half.
Houston beat themselves. Houston had Washington State beat and just couldn't. They kept shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah. And Memphis with a nice, convincing win over South Alabama.
They beat up, I think, in the polls, haven't they? Or have they?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they're in the top 25, but I think I'm talking about like the around 30th or something.
Right. And looking at the league as a whole, obviously we talked about the two prime wins over Maryland and then Stanford. But outside of that, it's nice to see our league's teams do what they should do against certain competition. Like Kyle said, beating South Alabama, Memphis, that is, 42-6. Cincinnati, they started slow after what had happened against Ohio State, but then they come from down 10-0 after the first quarter to win 35-13. And then you had SMU improve to 3-0 for the first time since 1984. So first time since the days of the Pony Express, I guess, or right there around that time. And they're doing a nice job with Sonny Dykes and transfer quarterback Shane Bouchel. And then you had Tulane. Yes, they were playing Missouri State, but they won 58-6. So I mean, yeah.
Set your DVRs now, Thursday night. Tulane, Houston's going to be a hell of a ball game.
It will be. And I'll tell you what, it's good for the conference, but it's sure making it tough on us right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then you saw, I guess the only one we haven't mentioned is you saw USF get a much-needed win against South Carolina State, 55-16.
Yeah, South Florida put up some points on South Carolina State. You know, I thought South Carolina State had dropped football.
No, not them. There have been some other schools that have. But
were they talking about it? I swear they were talking about dropping football. I swear to God they were.
I don't remember hearing that.
I heard – maybe I'm thinking of somebody else, but I thought they were in such financial difficulty a couple of years ago that the bank, that the athletic department was about bankrupt and they were going to drop football. I must be thinking of somebody else. If anybody's hearing this and knows what I'm talking about or who I'm talking about, evidently it's not South Carolina State, message me on Facebook or either shoot the sports objective in an email.
Oh, yeah, we love to hear critiques.
Absolutely.
Seriously.
So I was requesting information and not critique. But if you want to critique with the information, go ahead.
Hey, guys, I actually know a guy named Moses Geddes who went – played baseball there. He's a dear friend of mine, and so I'll ask him. I'll text him to see if I can find that information.
Amos Moses,
get back
you
to
say?
We're going
Moses
test.
Geddes. Yep.
Oh, not Amos Moses. Okay.
He's a fan of the podcast. I'll ask him.
We're going to test the veracity of your statement, Kyle.
All right. It was somebody. If it weren't South Carolina State, it was somebody else.
Something I wanted to mention earlier when Dave was talking about the Citadel's 27-24 overtime win at Georgia Tech yesterday. Did you guys see, I think I sent it to you, the tweet that was put out by the Citadel's official account?
I
thought I did, but I wasn't 100%. But anyway, for our listeners, I will put that on our social media. I think we already have it on our Facebook. It said Rambled and Wrecked.
There you go.
And you also had Furman take Virginia Tech down to the wire. They were beating the Hokies 14-3 at halftime, and then Virginia Tech did come back to win. But Furman recovered an onside kick late, and they reviewed it and said that they were blocking the return team. But it seemed like a shaky call, to say the least. And even the ACC network announcers, they were saying that Furman got shafted.
They're having a hard time with officials in the ACC, aren't they? You saw where the game, that North Carolina game, they came back out and said they should have given them one more play.
Oh, I feel so bad for them.
And Dave, what about your boy Willie Taggart and the Seminoles?
I think Dave's busy right now. They played a good, they lost to Virginia. That was a good game. Terrible call at the end. I don't know why they didn't spike the ball and took that direct snap like that. I guess I don't know why they ran that particular play at the very end. But That was a fun game to watch the last 5 minutes of.
North Carolina, anytime they lose, I'm so.
Yeah,
and then a game we haven't mentioned yet, but how about a week after? I got to give Kyle some props here.
Really? What did you say? What did you say? You didn't like them either. Good, great. He started barking when you started talking about Carolina. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Did you hear? You said Carolina, and he jumped up and started barking. Good, great.
You don't like them. I don't blame them.
Okay. They're not here. There ain't no goats in our yard.
Hey, earlier in the week, Terry and Kyle had to report some offensive content on Facebook.
I did. I had got an ad in my Facebook feed for a UNC sweatshirt, so I reported it as offensive content.
That's some of that stuff coming out of somebody's basement.
Now,
I think it's right out of Russia, guys. It's a Russian. The Russians did that.
Bubba was about to sing my praises.
Yeah, I was getting.
Terry interrupted him. So go ahead, Bubba.
I was placing Kyle on his throne as far as his comments that he had last week after Coastal went into Lawrence and defeated the Jayhawks 12-7, and Kyle said, and he said, "Now Kansas and Les Miles, they have some running backs to work with. I'll tell you that." So. They went to Boston College. They were down 17-7 after the first quarter, but from that point on, they outscored Boston College 41-7 and went on to win that game 48-24. So, what a win! Obviously, Kansas defeating anybody on the road in the FBS was an accomplishment because that's the first time they had done so in 48 or 49 tries. Ooh. So, but what a win for Les Miles and the Jayhawks!
And tell them how they did it, Bubba.
Yeah, and they had, was it Puka Williams?
Puka Williams.
And Puka Williams had like 120, 125 on the ground. And then
the other running back had like 160.
Yeah, the other running back had 11 carries for like 180 or 85 yards.
Yeah, their running backs are talented. I don't know why Les Miles insists on getting in the I formation all the time. He was doing that crap against Coastal. And I was looking at their running backs, and I said, if he would put them in space, those two kids, particularly Puka, even though the other one had more yards, are too good of a running back, you'll see, for spread formation offense anywhere in America. And sure enough, that's what they did once they got down against Boston College and did a hell of a job and scored a lot of points on them. And I'm sure now that that's been seen, there'll be some defenses that will adjust to that and realize he's not going to be a power eye, straight ahead guy all the time now. But those kids are talented, man. He's got two hell of a running back there at Kansas to build around.
And the other kid that I could not think of his name, I looked it up. It was Khalil Herbert, and he had 11 carries for 187 yards.
Yeah, I watched. Like I said, I watched the extended highlights for Coastal, and I saw those two backs. I was like, oh, my God, I wish we had those kids. And didn't expect them to turn around and beat Boston College this week. But they did, so makes me look smart for another week.
There you go.
Yeah. I called Les and said, now, Les, I said, if you spread that out and get those kids in space, I'll make some plays for you.
So he just has trouble with clock at the end of the game.
And also, while we're talking about Kyle's accomplishments and things that Kyle likes and so forth, hey, I'm keeping it clean.
Okay, all right.
Now, Kyle's one of Kyle's favorite coaches up at Eastern Michigan.
Yes, sir. Chris
Creighton and the Eagles went into Champaign and knocked off the Fighting Illini 34-31 yesterday.
Yeah, Chris Creighton. Creighton's a guy I've been singing his praises for about 4 or 5 years now. And my top two candidates for the East Carolina job was Chris Creighton and Mike Houston. And Chris Creighton is somebody's going to hire him away from Eastern Michigan one of these days. But they're lucky to have him.
And while we're in the Big Ten, guys, did y'all see that finish between ASU and at Michigan State?
Yes.
Michigan State kicked what appeared to be a game-tying field goal, but they had 12 men on the field, so they had to attempt it again, and he hooked it badly.
But, you know, they didn't call that. They didn't flag that until well after the kick was good, Bubba.
Right. Herm Edwards had to point it out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I didn't think you could review penalties, and that's basically what they did. I mean,
no, you're not. Not well. The pros have pass interference, but
that's basically what they did. Was went back. It's basically like they went back and counted, and then threw the flag. So, I mean, to me, the play was dead. See, that's why I don't think you should have been able to call it, because they blew the effing whistle on the play.
Now,
it was dead. So how can they go back and flag it?
Alabama-Auburn game, maybe last year, the year before, Alabama jumped. It was late in the game, close game, and it was something, and they were going to go back and look at it because it was something on Alabama. And while looking at it, they saw that Auburn had 12 men on the field. And they didn't.
But evidently that's reviewable. That must be the one.
Yeah. But then they let them, because they hadn't called the flag. But then they penalized them.
Okay. Evidently that must be reviewable. That must be the one thing you can go back and look at.
I've never seen nothing like that. But never.
Well, that's happened. And that's happened twice, Terry.
Never seen it at all.
Michigan State yesterday.
I sure had never seen it, but I guess it is.
I hadn't seen it until yesterday, and like I said, I don't understand it. It has to be reviewable because, once the whistle's blown, it's blown. It's got to be a reviewable thing.
I don't see how you can call a flag on a play that hasn't been flagged until you review it.
Yeah. Evidently, the too many men on the field is the only thing.
You're opening a can of worms there when you start viewing plays like that.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And nice win for Arizona State on the road.
I enjoy seeing teams play across the country and, teams that don't play each other all the time play each other. It's like people complain about the bowls, but I like to see some of those matchups, if you enjoy football, enjoy football and don't get caught up in the,
politics,
hierarchy, politics, hierarchy, or whatever. But, because there's been some good games already this season. And because that Maryland Temple game. That was fun to watch.
Clemson, Florida State yesterday, BYU, USC. Florida, Kentucky. Kentucky should have won that game.
The Florida quarterback, I saw the play where he got hit. And I'm going to tell you, they didn't show a replay, and it's good they didn't.
Air Force beating Colorado. Colorado was off to an excellent start under Mel Tucker, and then Air Force went into Boulder and beat them 30-23 yesterday.
Yeah. You remember me telling you, Bubba, that spread looked odd to me?
Yeah. I said, look out with Air Force. Yeah.
That cost me money, and there again, that's a wishbone team, I believe, or triple option.
Right.
You had some money on that game?
And you get no, not money.
Oh, okay.
Had some matchsticks.
Okay, gotcha.
It was great. We throwing egg tips out there. But Mel Tucker he was at Georgia. He left Georgia to go out there. So you told him why can't he stop the triple option?
Yeah. Well, why don't we run the damn triple option then?
I'd love it. I can run it in my sleep still. But, I'm not as fast as I was, but I probably don't have as many plays in me either.
I would think not. But time catches up with all of them.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I reckon so, like Outlaw Josie Wales. I reckon so.
I know a guy – totally off the subject, see any of our listeners who care. I know a guy, you mentioned the Outlaw Josie Wells. I know a boy named Josie Outlaw. First name Josie, middle name Outlaw.
That's cool.
That is cool. That was his mama's favorite movie.
Yeah, there you go. And old Chief, the Indian, Dan George, I believe.
Yeah.
He talks about they took him to Washington and they gave him top hats and coats and called him civilized. And the Secretary of State, William Seward, said he told us to endeavor to persevere. So we have, and that's where we are, but we're the civilized nation.
I guess.
Sometimes when you're civilized, you can't keep up with someone sneaking up on you. So.
And Kyle, another game that we haven't mentioned, I know you...
Bubba was the most unnatural segue in the history of segue.
Yeah, that Bubba let it play out, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he said, quit talking, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bubba.
Bubba's scared anyway.
It was the that
well,
Southern Miss. That Southern Miss Troy game.
Oh, the Southern Miss Troy game was fantastic. Yeah, I watched
47-42.
Yeah, I watched that on ESPN.
Yeah, who won that one?
Southern Miss won by 5 at Troy.
Oh, because Troy was ranked, was moving up in the polls.
Kevin coming off a 10-win season.
Right.
I watched that one on ESPN Plus. Back and forth in the fourth quarter. Big play. Southern Miss has got a kick returner, guys. He's going to be playing in the NFL. He's returned 2 kickoffs for touchdowns and a punt for a touchdown already this year. He's fast. He may be faster than Chris Johnson. He is fast.
I've never seen anybody fast as him in pads.
He is fast. You need to watch highlights of this kid. I can't think of his name right now. He's a wide receiver for him and returns kicks. He is super fast. That was a hell of a game. A lot of fun to watch. So congratulations to our friends at Southern Miss. Everybody, if you know me, you know I have an affinity for Southern Miss. They are my second favorite team. So got a lot of friends down there. And so congratulations to the Eagles.
When Blakeney was there, they were the dirtiest team in the country. but you know, I think it had to do with the coach, not the
yeah.
You know, Carolina became that way with him. So
Was the Wayne Bolt factor?
Could be. What?
Just kidding, Coach Bolt.
Coach Bolt, he's the man. If he hadn't been there, they're not winning. That's all I can say. Coach Bolt.
Any other interesting scores from yesterday? I mean,
I think
Minnesota. Minnesota barely beat Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern. They come by 2 points.
Yeah, Georgia Southern's not having a very good year.
Also, West Virginia beat NC State by 17.
Yeah, West Virginia.
Did NC State show up?
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's
the time I saw that because, you know, I thought we had lost to a pretty good team. And, man, they looked bad yesterday. West
it's
Virginia.
Amazing. People don't realize, and it's hard to explain, but sometimes traveling just messes kids
up.
Yeah,
and it was their first road game. West Virginia had just looked so bad.
And home
you could tell. You could tell the reaction from their fans yesterday. If you guys watched any of that game,
they were surprised.
Yeah, were surprised. They were excited as they could be.
We did not choreograph that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jeez.
We're in stereo, baby.
Right. We're synced up.
That's right.
And I guess maybe that's one of those things, like you're saying, Kyle. I'm sure the traveling and first game on the road for NC State, I'm sure that could have played a role. And then you also, with Neil Brown, them having a third game in the new systems that they're running. So I'm sure that obviously helps as well.
Yeah.
I mean, because you never know. I mean, like, it seems like, geez, we're going to be awful. And then all of a sudden, things start clicking.
Yeah, maybe that'll happen this week against William and Mary.
Let's hope so.
We're gonna keep getting a little bit better.
Hey, big game this coming week, guys. Besides East Carolina, William Mary, good luck, look, when we're on the field with them, they're a rival. But let me tell you something. We don't play them that often. Got a lot of respect for them. The boys in Boone, go down to Chapel Hill and whip some ass.
Absolutely.
I didn't know they were playing this weekend.
Yeah.
Yep. App State's coming off an open date.
Have they ever played it?
Yeah, I believe so, but certainly not since moving up to FBS.
Hmm. Huh.
So,
how's Carolina's schedule?
They might not.
They're actually going back to Boone, too.
It's a psychological disadvantage.
Vegas realizes what Carolina's got themselves into because the line on that game is only 3 points.
Hey, by the way, Mac is back. Mac is back. Just remember that.
Yeah, Mac is back. I hope Mac gets smacked this weekend by Appalachian.
I thought we were about to lose him. he got pretty red in the face there at the end of that game.
Hey, does anybody – you're talking about – by the way, Mac's showing his age. Speaking of coaches that are showing their age, we mentioned Eastern Michigan at and maybe I shouldn't say this on the podcast. Bubba, should I say it on the podcast?
Say that again?
Should I say this about Lovie Smith on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any reason not to say it.
Okay, all right. I was watching Eastern Michigan versus Illinois yesterday, and Lovie Smith has grown out a white beard. And I was looking at him, and I said, it looks like Grady from Sanford and Son is the head coach of of Illinois.
It's Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith looks like Grady.
Go ahead and do that Grady impersonation.
Now,
come on.
Now, Fred, we're going to sit down and watch the fight in the line. I play football with a big old glass of Ripple.
I'm coming home, Elizabeth. I'm coming home.
I want my daddy's records.
Oh my God, Dave! That's probably my favorite episode
with Bubba. Yeah,
that's speaking probably Bubba, my favorite episode with Bubba.
That's my favorite one.
I want my daddy's records. I want my daddy's records.
You fish-eyed fool.
Do you guys remember that episode?
Oh yeah,
blind melon jelly.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, yeah, blind melon jelly. I want my daddy's record.
And then the classic thing about the episode is he had one left. He put it in the chair and then sat on it and broke the record at the end of the episode.
I want my daddy's record.
If
you haven't seen that episode, what it is Fred has some records he got, you know, being a junk dealer. And he sells, he donates something because he can get attacked. Lamont says, you know, these are old jazz records.
Yeah.
The library will want them. And he donates them to the library to get a tax write-off. Then he finds out they're worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So he gets Bubba to go, you know, play a blind guy because blind, what was the guy's name again?
Blind Melly Jill. What's funny about that, too, is
because he's blind, he's going to have a blind son. That's
exactly. What's the chances of that?
So he goes, and Bubba just keeps going, I want my daddy's record. Bubba, since your name's Bubba, you got to do that. Let's hear you go, I want my daddy's
Bubba's a little bit shy on that kind of stuff.
No, I was a little bit distracted.
I want my daddy's records.
You say, I want my daddy's records. That's all you have to say.
Who am I impersonating?
Bubba.
Bubba from Sanford and Son.
Who from Sanford and Son?
Bubba.
Bubba, okay.
That's your homework assignment.
We've lost the podcast.
Yeah. No, that's funny. I was just trying to place it because I remember growing up a lot of times when – me and my
Bubba,
dad.
Bubba was Fred's other friend besides Grady. He'd be like,
Dave,
why are you at the racetrack?
Yeah, he was classic. I love Bubba's Bubba and Grady are two of my favorites. But by the way, you need to guys. Speaking of Sanford and Son, one of the worst interviews I've ever done is Damon Wilson. So I love the guy, but he was way out there. I'll just say that, and I can say that because I'm sure he'll never hear our podcast. But wow,
Didn't talk anything about Sanford Sun. He hates Sanford Sun, but he made money off Sanford Sun. So
that's it's kind of like JJ.
Yeah,
he eats the same way.
Yeah.
Jimmy Walker.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you ready to kind of go towards some wrap up?
Yeah, let's do that.
Bobby, you had something else you want to get in?
Oh, just while we're on Sanford and Son, I'm saying, and y'all probably already talked about this, but one of my favorite parts was, and this would happen in a lot of episodes, where Fred would just say, Fred G. Sanford, and the G stands for, and then fill in the blank, whether it was good looking, whatever.
Fred G. Sanford, and the G stands for good God almighty, we can't stop the triple up.
Exactly.
Stop playing Navy. I don't care if you're in the conference.
Did it forfeit the game? Is that what you're going to do?
At least then they wouldn't have any points on the board.
Coach mentioned.
Hey, I got an idea.
Okay.
We could just pretend like there's a hurricane coming and skip to the next town and just go to that town.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know.
Is that too soon?
Too soon.
Coach Houston mentioned this past week in his press conference, and it says in the new scheduling format, it looks like we're going to be playing these guys every year.
Yep.
I might need to go out and recruit a triple option quarterback to run the stuff in practice.
That's a
good idea.
That is so huge that people don't understand how to even try simulate to give them a picture. The scout team give a picture. It's impossible.
No, it's not the same. Exactly. I think even Coach Houston talked about that. Simulating it and the reality of it. Didn't he say that in the post game last night? Simulating it and actually living it in reality.
Game speed compared to
right.
Oh, gosh. And they executed. Hey, one last thing. I'm going to throw. They ran a formation.
That's what I was going to. You read my mind, Terry. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, they ran a formation in it. They came out with this early in the game, and this is something I used to do as a coordinator. Is especially when I was offense coordinator, I was a wing T offense, and with the triple option mixed in. So teams pretty much knew what we were going to run and all in our formation. But what we would always do is come out with we would run the same plays but out of different formation. And you give them a lot of different looks early in the game, more or less just to – it's kind of like a shell game where, you're just kind of showing them this and that and just getting them off. If you go out there and run what they've been practicing against you all week, then, they're going to stop it. So you give them something different. And that's what Navy did into their boundary, which running into the boundary – isn't always the best thing because you don't have as much room and the defense gets the sideline. The sideline's a great tackler. Never missed, man. So, but what they would do, they would put their tackle over and the split end over. So you would wind up. Then the two running backs would both be into the boundary formation as a wing and a slot back. So you wind up with basically eight men on one side of the football, because you got the other two are going to be your guard, and then the tight end will line up where the tackle did. So you still got to cover him. And if you don't, they'll throw it to him. But because there's several different things you can do. If the defense shifts into the boundary, then you run plays back to the wide side. But if the defense just stays in a straight defense, then you go ahead and run your play into the boundary, and you've already got – You've outflanked them into the boundary, which is impossible to do, but because of the number of people involved, and think about it, triple option, you're not blocking everybody. So that gives you extra people, more or less. So you're going to wind up, instead of us having maybe five or six on that side of the ball, since they don't block two of them, that means they got eight people blocking three. It was a pretty good situation, and they were able to run the plays quick so that they're into their boundaries so they could get play in quick. And I think we were a little off balance with that, and then they stopped doing it. Then they came back with it in the fourth quarter, and that's when they moved it on down the field again. But you know, with a triple option team that's got that, that's able to run 10, 12, 14 play drives, third quarter, we didn't get the ball until about 7.5 minutes to go in the quarter. We touched the ball twice in the third quarter. We only had 5 possessions in the first quarter, and that, I mean, the first half, technically we had 5 the second half. So we had 10 possessions in the game. Normally in a college football game, you get anywhere from 14 to 18 possessions. So that's what the triple option does to you. It just, and they would watch the play clock, if you notice sometimes. They would watch the play clock, then call the play with about 8 to 5 seconds left on the clock and snap the ball with 2 or 1 seconds left. So they were running the clock out.
And why they did, because if not, they would have scored 52.
That is, but they just methodically, they just, it's like, I mean, it's just, it hurts to if you're on that sideline trying to stop it. Because you just can't. It's like waterboarding.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. But I had there's 3 things I'm gonna look for the rest of the year, and y'all can come back at the end of the year and see if we did these things. But it's 3 objectives that more or less. And this is what I see us trying to do this year. I think accomplish 3 things. And first thing is there, we're still working on fundamentals every practice. In other words, I don't think we're able to just do like a typical season where once you're into it, you don't always hit as much and you don't spend as much time on the field as you do watching film and stuff like that. We're not mature enough yet. We don't know the difference. We need to hit every day. We need to practice fundamentals every day. So we need to leave this season with a sound fundamental base at every position. And what we need to do this year is redshirt. Because what is it, 4 games? Is it 4 games they can play?
Yeah, 4 games you can play.
Yeah, the new redshirt rule, yep, from last year.
Well, when we get to that point, we need to redshirt just about everybody. It's not in the top 2 or 3.
Yep.
If you're not in the top 2 or 3, redshirt. I don't care if you're a junior or senior. I mean, a junior or sophomore. That's where you build that base is with the redshirt. And then the third thing is the mental and physical toughness that we're going to come out with out of this year. Because when you're losing and you're still having to play hard, that's mm-hmm. where you develop mental toughness. What are you going to do, quit? Or are you going to keep going? You going to quit, or you want to keep going? And so far, I see us keep going. And that's what we need to do. Those are the 3 things I'm going to watch for the rest of the year.
You know, guys, I want to mention, too, that I was telling Terry last night, the very fact is we've got, if you look at Coach Montgomery, he came from a program that I think it was 2002 to 2006, but it's 4 straight seasons not winning a ball game. I mean, how about that? 4 straight games not winning. I mean, 4 straight years. You have a guy that started as a freshman that they never won a game their entire football career. Unbelievable. And you have a guy that came from that culture. And it looks like to me, Kyle, we literally have gone to from a contender to not even contend. I mean, when you were talking about William and Mary this week and why we need to be concerned about every single game is we're not the East Carolina that Terry knows. We're not the East Carolina of even the rough tenure. So we're going to have to basically, it's like a ladder and we're at the bottom, very bottom of the ladder. We don't even have our foot on that first rung, I think. And Saturday's game reminded me, do you guys remember that song Back to Reality, Back to Life, Back to Reality? It was a song in the 90s.
Yeah. Of course.
Watching that game and listening to that game, to me, was very, if you're high on Mike Houston, I'm not saying like high, like, but like literally, it was very sobering and it brought us back to reality of, okay, he is great for the future, no doubt.
We are amazing.
But how many times on the podcast, Kyle and Bubba, did we, and even Terry heard it too and on with us, did we tell folks, please don't jump off the bandwagon early because of the very fact that this is a rebuild. It's going to take time. Kyle, I know you've said 5 games. Anywhere between 5 to 7 games we can win this year. I still believe in that. What do you think? What do you guys think?
In terms of how many wins we're going to have, I mean, at this point, if we get the five, I'll be ecstatic. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, how many I think we're going to win, because I do think we'll improve as the year goes on. But
right
now, I'm hopeful for five. I think if we can get to 5-7 this year, that's more
kinda
than
like
we have been running. But we got to win this weekend. If we don't win this weekend,
oh yeah,
it's gonna be tough to get to five.
Oh yeah, you know, if we, I figure, and realistically, I was hoping we'd come out of September 3-2.
Yep.
And you know, that's maybe it could be 2-3, but I'm looking for 3-2. Then I'm telling you, October is going to be a tough month.
Yeah.
We play Temple on Thursday, then we play.
UCF.
At least we go there, don't we? We go there.
We got USF after Temple. We got USF in Greenville.
Now USF possibility, so we could be 1-2 in October.
I think we'll lose the Cincinnati game.
Then after that, we need to win the next three. And if we did that, 3-4, that'd be 7 games win.
Yep.
Six.
If we get to 6-6 at this point, Terry, I will be so ecstatic I won't know what to do with myself. So I hope you are right.
Oh yeah, well, and with what I've been saying all along is, I don't care what the record is this year.
Right.
I want competitiveness. I want
toughness.
I want people to know we were there. And people say, well, we didn't do that against the Navy. I beg to differ. You don't know where. You got to realize how low we are.
That's the key right there.
Bubba, before we hope we're going to wrap this thing up one of these days. Bubba, did you double check the winner results yet?
I have not. We'll release that on our social media here.
By the time you hear this podcast, probably we'll have that out.
Yeah.
All right. Terry's got to go to bed early, right, Terry?
I got a race to watch and a football game.
All right. Well, never mind. I was hoping you'd say yes. I'm not that old yet. You don't go to those early bird specials, right, for the cafeteria?
I do go to the senior discounts.
Okay. All right. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Terry, thank you, man. Thank you for all your help on the podcast. Appreciate you being a great friend. Hopefully we can get a win this week. We'll be having our preview out, obviously, on Thursday. We'll have another podcast. In fact, Bubba, we got a big podcast coming up in a couple of days, right?
Yeah, we do. So we have a couple of great guests. First, Matt Jabs and the ECU swimming and diving program, both the men and the women. Coach Jabs joined us again last year. That podcast received a tremendous response with what, Dave, right around 1,000 listens or something.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It went crazy. And the funny thing, when I was talking to Coach Jabs about that, he said that he was actually, you know, I don't know, maybe just a little gun shy about doing the interview or not wanting it to not do well. I mean, he had not told the team about it. And so, so its success, hopefully it'll be even better this year. But in addition to Coach Jabs, we also caught up with Greg Steele of Town Bank. He's the president of the Town Bank there in Greenville. And we talked about that relationship that East Carolina Athletics and Town Bank has. And so that was an excellent conversation. And then in the coming days, we'll also catch up with Tynita Butts. And she is a track and field athlete. And she's had tremendous success since moving on from East Carolina. And she's a heck of a high jumper, and actually talked to Udon Cheek, who we had on the show back a few months ago, and Udon hooked me up with Tynita, and he said that you definitely need to have her on with everything that she's currently accomplishing, so it'll be great to chat with her.
Always good. We hope to have we'll have the Pirate preview obviously out hopefully by Thursday, and certainly a day or two before the game, and looking forward to a big crowd at Dowdy Pickle next Saturday night at 6 o'clock, folks. So another 6 o'clock game, and we're looking forward to it
very much, and hopefully the Pirates can pull it out. Well, guys, appreciate it very much. Terry, Kyle, and Bubba, appreciate you guys. They're like brothers to me. Brothers from a different mother. Appreciate y'all very much. And definitely, let's have a good week. And we'll reconvene in the next couple of days. How does it sound?
Sounds like a winner.
Yep. All right. Well, until next time, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.